So this is all.
Luke's Gospel. Traditionally, the point is made at this season that Jesus is born as a sign and a gift for all people, not just the Jewish people, but for all people. And the same point is characterized by the Lucan use of all. Martin Birch, this is a business, people read this passage, just in case you're there.
A reading from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the regions of Iturea and Trachonitis, and this Elias was ruler of Galilee, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
You know how many people have their favourite bits of the Bible in the year? 1 Corinthians 13 or Psalm 23. I have to say for me, Luke 3:2 is one of mine. Actually, to make it work, you need verses 1 and 2. And I love the quiet, understated, but I think it was humor of it. Here is an A list of emperors, a governor, three tetrarchs, two high priests, the rulers of the known world. Collectively, they have all the authority and might, with wealth and military prowess. All authority is theirs, everything that ancestry can command. And into this world, God sends John. And where is John? Answer, he's in the desert, on his own, without the troubles of power. But let's be clear, people who have political power can abuse it, can do amazing things to the work of God. But very often that is not how it is. People become obsessed with their status and they cling to power rather than having a certain heart. Quietly, God is at work in the background. God is at work with people that others don't notice and others don't celebrate. But we, of course, are taken in by temporal power and celebrity. but that is not how it is for God. John is called by God to be a prophet from being the womb. He is born a prophet. He doesn't serve the Israel's holiest place on earth. He goes into the desert. He goes away. The edge of the promised land. Wilderness is another biblical motif. Exodus. Jesus with the temptations in the desert. Should have been a hometown man, but it wasn't. A place of danger and uncertainty. It's where God is at work precisely because it is a place of testing, hunger, being lost and being found. It's precisely because it is a place of vulnerability and danger. Precisely because it is a place of vulnerability and danger. Precisely because we have placed vulnerability and danger with God. The wilderness is where God's people learn where and how to depend on God. If we can do it by our own strength and our own energy, then we do it. And who gets the credit? That would be us. God is working in situations and with people where without God, the whole thing would fall flat. And then we call from the prophet Isaiah that a new road from God is being prepared. It requires travelling a long distance over top land. And the people are travelling back home to their land on a new road. Travelling back home to their land. You go and everything is different. From Isaiah, this is a world put right by turning it upside down, turning it on its head, and the power is from the bottom up rather than the top down. We have been in the desert town, isolated. Fearful of death, fearful of our work vanishing, relationships collapsing, and how life will be. Some hope for a new life, and others ache for it to go back to how it was. And there are others for whom every day is a battle now, and they're not lifting their eyes because today is not a struggle. Thank you very much. And the people who are most vulnerable and fragile at this stage, I would say respectfully, brothers and sisters, are those people who, when you ask them how things are, they say, fine. And if that is you in the room here, or you Zoomers, if that is you, I want to warn you to be very careful. There is very little certainty about the post-pandemic world when we get there. But we're not there now. When we get there, except for the promises represented by John's proclamation of wilderness. God enters this time, and this space, and this piece of history, so that all salvation, all flesh can see the salvation of God. And that's why we need to read that. It's about God who is present with bread and wine. Here, today, see the bread and wine. Tangible, not theoretical. not in flamboyant, lovely, colourful creations, but in the most ordinary thing. Like John in the desert. Looking like he's outside, but actually he's at the heart of it. Easily dismissed is not phantom at all, but actually being at the heart of it. Like us. Looking like we are old or ill or foolish or poor or vulnerable or fragile. It is the Spirit of God that is easily dismissed. It is easily ignored. It moves into the world and says messages of love, peace, promise. And in the process, turns the world upside down. Let us be silent together, and then we will pray. God, you're waiting. Waiting for the assurance that you hold in your grace. And while we're waiting, we are trying to be courageous. To take part in this world besieged by violence. So teach us your ways and lead us on the level back. Give those who have political power. They would remember why they went into politics in the first place. That they would not be bewitched and tempted, but they would remember their certain heart. Be with those who are voiceless in our society. Be with those who try to speak up and nobody listens. Be with those who take pictures of the victims of domestic violence and show them to the police and nobody did anything. Those who phone helplines and nobody responds. Even those who feel that they are speaking an important message and nobody listens to them about climate change, about fuel poverty. About how the cost of living going up is going to impact. About parents making choices about feeding their children or keeping them warm. Gracious God, open our ears to hear you when you speak an uncomfortable message to us, and give us the courage to speak or keep on speaking the truth, even if we have a sense that no one wants this. And give your people the courage to continue to live for you and be shaped by you, and not to be bewitched by the standards of our world. Be with those people who are coming to the end of their resources. That they will know that you are the one that we can all turn to. Help us to know you, our God. Always, that you wait for us with ever patient and overflowing love. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we continue our worship as we make our offering. We know that most people give through their banks. We know that other people give in other ways. But for those who give cash on this day, the offering now is. So let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God, out of the fullness of your gifts, we bring before you this bread and this wine, our gifts and our lives. Blessed be your holy name forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So I hope those of you who are on Zoom have got your bread and your wine ready. Maybe when we're singing the next hymn, you can go skedaddling into your kitchen. But we're going to join together to sing, "Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ." Jesus lives again, what can we hope?
Have a seat. Let us celebrate this joyful feast. People will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, to sit at the table in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Anyone who comes to me, I will never turn away." And hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it is recorded by St. Paul. "For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So in the name of the Lord Jesus and following his example, we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. Let us pray. We thank you, God, for your richness. We thank you for the way your light lets us see the world and its people. We thank you for diversity and difference in people and places. We thank you for signs and symbols and glimpses of your kingdom. We thank you for bolts out of the blue that reveal you to us, and for the tiny flame that offers us assurance. We thank you for your care through the hands of others, hands of family, hands of friends, and hands of strangers. We thank you that in others we see you, and that through seeing you, we see them in different ways. We thank you that in wilderness experiences you come to us, that you come in word or deed, that you come in touch or gift, that you come in cacophony or whisper, but you come. Thank you, born among us. Thank you, shown and known in bread and wine. Thank you that you have the power to transform these gifts, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ, and that we would know as we eat and drink that we are with you, part of you, and part of each other. Thank you. Amen. even in the face of death, knowing where he was heading. In the bleakest of times, he took bread, he blessed it, he broke it and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." As he prepared to die on the cross, he took the cup and said, "This is my blood, it is shed for you." These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The body of Christ. Thank you. the blood of Christ. Let's pray. God of a love stronger than death, you have given us new birth into a living hope through the gift of your Son. God with us, like a mother, you have fed us with yourself and strengthened us for journeying ahead. God of truth and power, you take our weakness and our foolishness and refashion us by grace. Gracious God, may the love which bids us welcome at this table gather all your children into one, in your eternal presence, whole and free at last. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our final hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. May the road we travel be smooth and straight, every rut filled in, and every bump smoothed out, and diversions easy to navigate, and obstacles easy to maneuver around. And may good companions share our journey, and may we be voices for good in the world, a sign of Jesus' love for all. Go in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.